Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
Excited to preach this series today. We've been in a series called Hidden Figure, really talking about really revealing the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what that means, what it means to all of us. And so we're going to continue in that theme, in that series today. I did want to let you know, for those of you, somebody actually asked about it again this week, and so I wanted to point this book up again. If you kind of had any questions about the Holy Spirit, really want to kind of get an in-depth view, but basic view of who the Holy Spirit is, really learning some really good fundamental basic stuff, just dispelling rumors or crazy stuff. John Bevere does an amazing job in this book titled The Holy Spirit. So it's where we've gotten some of the basis from our series from. So if you have any questions, you want to come check out the book, you definitely can. But I would encourage it. If you don't know a lot about the Holy Spirit, if maybe you kind of really don't know what to know, this is a great book to check out because it really provides some great insight on something that you should know. So I'd advise you to take a look at that. But I just wanted to show that to you again. It's The Holy Spirit by John Bevere. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and jump into the Word. We're going to look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, and as well, we obviously have notes on the screen, but if you go to the YouVersion Bible app, if you have that on your smartphone, if that's how you like to look at the Word, if you go to the YouVersion Bible app, if you have it, if you go to Events or the More tab, just put in City Heart Church, and you can actually follow along as we go through the message. It has all our notes there when we actually leave it up during the week. So if you want to go back and what were they saying in the message, it's a great place to just check out and figure out what's going on. And we definitely want you to be able to take advantage of that. But again, we're reading in John chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading in verse 37. And we've been reading this all throughout the series. And it says, on the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink." Verse 38 says, "The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." He said this about the Spirit. Those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not yet been received because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And put something there if you have your Bibles, or you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. And it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings." Verse 27 says, "And he," referring to Jesus, "who searches the hearts, he knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Hidden figure. Bow your heads, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for all that you're doing in and through our lives. We thank you for this service. Lord, I thank you for everyone that is here. I ask that you would speak through me today a word of clarity and conviction, a word that would encourage, a word that would challenge us in our faith and in the things of God and knowing who you are in our relationship to you. Lord, I pray that every word I speak would be clear. Lord, I pray that you would help us to all gain understanding and knowledge and desire wisdom about you. For you're worthy, God. We want to know who you are, and we give you all the glory for who you are. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Everybody said? Awesome. It's good to see your smiling faces here today. So we've been asking questions throughout this series about the Holy Spirit. And we said all along that we wanted to make sure that as we're teaching about the Holy Spirit, that we do it in a way that is fully understandable, right? Because a lot of times you go into churches and they teach about the Holy Spirit, they talk about the Holy Spirit, and it can get weird, right? Can I be honest? Right? It can get weird. It can get sometimes crazy. You can hear stuff that you're like, huh? Right? And so we go through life almost putting the Holy Spirit to the side. That's why we named this series Hidden Figure, because for a lot of people, the Holy Spirit really is hidden. They don't know who he is. They have no idea where he comes from, how to really interact with him. They just don't know, right? And so we go throughout life and we know who God is and we know who Jesus is, but they just really have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. And so in this series, we've been endeavoring to make sure that we break it down really clearly in a clear and understandable way that anybody could really know, okay, I have a really clear idea of who the Holy Spirit is. And so we've been asking questions like, who is he? You know, why does he come to help us? Where does he come from? Well, things like that. And so this week, kind of the question that we're really going to be talking about today is, why should I pray in the Holy Spirit? Why should I pray in the Holy Spirit? We've been talking about the different flows of the Holy Spirit, and we've named a couple so far. The first one that we said was power, right? We said that when the Holy Spirit comes, that he gives us power. And we said the second one the second flow of the Holy Spirit is revelation, that he would begin to help us to discover some of the hidden things, right? The hidden things of God, that he wouldn't be a hidden figure, that the Lord would really reveal some stuff to us, right? So there's power and there's revelation. And last week we began talking about edification, right? And we're saying, okay, and we said that the Holy Spirit brings edification to our lives. And again, I want to kind of define it for you. What is edification? It's kind of a big, kind of fancy word that means this. Might not be really to some people, but kind of a big fancy word that says it denotes the act of building a home or refreshing, right? When something is edified, it denotes the act of something being built or being refreshed. And the word typically, it's the promotion of spiritual growth and development of character in believers, right? So as I'm being edified, what is it doing? I'm growing spiritually, right? And there should be character that's developed in me as a believer. That's what it means. And this growth, this spiritual growth that I'm referring to comes, we said last week, as a result of the time that we spend with God. That's really the way that we grow spiritually, is that we spend time with God, that God desires really to be in communion with us, right? Last week we talked about, man, edification, we talked about building a house, and you're saying, what do you do when you build a house, right? If you're building a house from scratch, if I've never built a house before, the first thing that you're going to do, I'm going to give you a house building lesson here, right? The first thing you have to do, you have to buy some land. Right, you have to buy some land. You can't just go and just start building a house on somebody's land. They might shoot you or something like that, right? So you have to go and you have to buy the land. That's the first thing you have to do, right? You have to buy the land. And the same thing in our lives, when how we discover our faith is that we are purchased, right? Christ went to the cross on our behalf, and he prayed for us. He went to the cross, carried all our sins, and we are now purchased because of what he did on the cross. We were purchased. Same thing. So you buy the land, we are bought. The next thing in the process of really being built up, the next thing that happens is you clear some dirt, clear some debris, clear some trees, right? You clear some stuff on the land so that you can begin to build. The same thing in our lives. After we are purchased by Christ, you're forgiven, right? So the shame and the guilt and the stuff that you've carried in your life up until that point, it's gone, it's forgiven. He's saying, look, I bore that on the cross. I've carried that sin, so you're forgiven. So that shame and guilt that you had before, there's no need to have it at that point, right? The next phase of the building process is you really begin to build a foundation. And hopefully it's a solid one, right? You want it to be really sturdy and solid so that you can build a great house on top of it. Same thing in our spiritual walk. Right? You've been purchased, right? The shame and guilt is gone. And as the same thing as building a foundation, we build a foundation in our lives spiritually, right? You begin to learn the basic things of God. What has God really done for me? What does he really do in my life? And so that's the process, the beginning processes of how to build a house. But here's what happens to a lot of people. They stop at the foundation point. Right? It's like, I've dedicated my life to Christ. I've said, yes, I want to be saved. And then they just stop. Right? There's no more progress after that point. You haven't built a wall. There's no plumbing. There's no door. There's no windows. There's no cute little decorations in the house. There's no throw pillows for all the ladies that like throw pillows. Right? There's nothing in there. Right? It's just foundation. And a lot of people, foundation is great. You need a solid foundation. Awesome. Hope you get it. You need to have one. But I don't know about you. I like to live with something over my head. I want to have more. I like to have walls, an occasional door, right? So especially when I go to the restroom, like I want to close the door, right? And that's what happens in our lives. A lot of times we get in Christ, we build a foundation, and then we stop. We don't learn anything else about God. We're not really interested in doing anything more. We just get to the point where it's like, okay, I know God. Yeah, okay, great. And we stop right there. We don't go any further. Right? There's no discovery, but we're saying that really what Christ desires from us, he desires more for you and from you. He's saying he wants communion with us. Let me show you what I mean. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." These are the things that God is trying to do with us. That word communion there, what it means, consistent fellowship. It means intimacy. It's partnership with God. That's what he desires from us, right? And this time with God, it helps us to grow spiritually. It builds us up in our salvation, right? But it also helps us to be refreshed. Anybody like going on vacation? Am I the only one? I love going on vacation. It's like, whoo! My wife, we were talking about last night, going to the beach. I'm one of those people, like, I can just sit on the beach. You give me an umbrella and a chair. Just leave me alone. I don't need anything else. I don't even need to get in the water. I just want to sit on the beach. I just want to hear the waves and just feel the air coming from off the ocean. Like, that's me. I love it. I love to feel refreshed, right? I'm one of those people that I love a good, hot, like, almost burning my skin 20-minute shower. I know I'm not the only one, right? Right? I love that. My wife's like, oh my God, it's too hot in there. That's my shower. You can go and put it on lukewarm. I need hot in my shower. I love that feeling when you come out the shower. I know most people, like, I got the shower. I don't need a towel. I just want to walk around just free. I want to be, right? Am I the only one? Oh, I'm the only one. Okay. I want to feel refreshed. That's refreshing to me. Right? I want to feel, I'm sorry, I done told too much. I'm sorry, I've gone too far. Okay, I'll bring it back. Okay, bring it back. All right. But what is it? I want to feel that refreshing. I want to have that feeling all the time. And we do little things here and there to get refreshed, right? Maybe the ladies, you like to go to the spa. My wife loves to do that. You like to go to the spa, you like to get a little massage, get your hair and nails done. Or you just, some people like, man, guys like to go fishing. Some people like to shoot. Right? I just want to kill something. I want to shoot something. Right? It's just refreshing. I don't have to have that feeling. Right? But we yearn for that. We yearn for that refreshing. We yearn for that time where we're just built up. And the best way this communion, the best way that we are refreshed, really is through prayer. Right? If there's anybody that can say, man, this is a great way to be built up, it's really through prayer. It really is through when you pray. Let me show you in this Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." Pray in the Holy Spirit. Why should you pray in the Holy Spirit? And we already talking about it. It's really edification, right? This is a battery, right? And this is something that what we do every week, and this is actually the wrong battery for this, but anyway, this is a battery. Every week on Saturday, we take the batteries out of all the mic packs and we put it in this. This is a battery charger, right? And we stick it in there, and it charges overnight. Why do we do that? So that when we get up here, you can actually hear what I'm saying, that you can hear what the singers are saying. It's refreshing this battery, right? If we never did that, if we never took the time to plug this battery back into the power source, it's going to die. Eventually, it's just going to fade out. Eventually, the mic's going to turn off. You won't be able to hear what I'm saying. Why? Because we haven't taken the time to refresh it. In a lot of our lives, we do the same thing. We kind of know God, and we, you know, occasionally open the Bible. Maybe you check the verse of the day on YouVersion. Right? Maybe on Facebook you saw somebody else post a scripture and you're like, oh, I got my Jesus for the day. Right? I'm good. Right? But really what we need to be doing is saying, you know what? I need to go ahead and just, man, I need to stick it in the slot and just plug it in and get recharged. We need to do that. When we begin to pray, especially praying in the Holy Spirit, it's that process of edification. It's the process of being built up again. When we go out into the world, we need to go out with fresh batteries. I want to go out with batteries that are fully charged. right? And so I need to make sure that, A, I'm getting into my word. I need to make sure that I'm coming to church consistently, but I also need to make sure that in my personal time that I'm praying, that I'm communing with God, that I'm spending time with him, and really every day making sure that there is a point in the day where me and God are communing, where I can hear from him, he can hear from me, and I know what's going on, and he knows what's going on in my life. We need to build yourself up on your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Which kind of begs the question, well, how do I pray in the Holy Spirit? How do I do it? How do I pray in the Holy Spirit? Some of us grew up in churches. I did. I grew up in a Pentecostal holiness church, right? That means we went all the way, right? About as far as you could go, as far as your you know, holiness, Pentecostal experience, they went there. Right? I went to one of them churches, right? That's the kind of church I grew up in. Just to be honest, right? But some of us grew up in churches where maybe you never even talked about the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit was just never discussed. My wife was saying that she really wasn't until college that she really discovered really how to pray or what it even meant to pray in the Holy Spirit. So we all come from these different experiences, but really what we've been endeavoring to do is saying, okay, what is God really desiring from me? Why would he put this into his word to pray in the Holy Spirit? But as we know, a lot of people don't even make that correlation. They never make the connection. They never even do it. Some because they don't know why. And then there's some that do have heard it before, but then they just don't do it. They just don't do it. So we're going to explore it today. Why? Because I want you to have a clear understanding of who the Holy Spirit is, like in really, I want us to do this in the best and most practical way. And I know for certain people who grew up in particular churches, tongues are of the devil. I get it. Praying in the Holy Spirit, oh, you're getting a little too spooky on me now, Pastor Kevin. You've gone too far. Yeah, it was cool. You got jeans on, great, awesome. But now you're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now y'all gonna be waving flags and doing crazy stuff. No. Let me set this up right, because I know how it can get. Because I want to make sure that we're doing it in a practical sense. But here's one thing. I will never, and I'm going to say it again, you will never hear us apologize for the Holy Spirit and the passion of who he is in this church. In this church, we are going to experience who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. We are going to be a passionate church. I will never apologize for that, as much as I don't want to ever wear a suit in this church. It doesn't mean that I don't want to feel his presence when I come in here. When you walk in here in our worship, that's why we're saying, man, get here early. That's why we put coffee on. Get here early so you can get into worship and you begin to have yourself that you can keep working on that refreshing process so that when Monday comes, you've got something in the tank. I don't want you going out on a dull battery. I want you going out when you go to Monday at work and there's that boss that gets on your very last extra nerve. There's that person that sits next to you in class that you're just like, oh, I want to make sure that you're operating from a charged battery, right? Because if you're not operating from a charged battery, you will go off. You will go straight ham. That's probably what will happen. I don't want you to do that. I want you to go off in the understanding of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the scriptures. What do the scriptures say about praying in the Holy Spirit? Let's take a look. If you turn me to 1 Corinthians 14, and we'll look at verse 2. It says, for the person who speaks in another language, a person that speaks in tongues, that speaks in another language, is not speaking to men, but to God. There's a clue right there, right? The person who speaks another language is not speaking to men, but to God. Why? Since no one understands him. I'm going to make this as clear and easy as I can. Why? Since no one understands him. However, he speaks mysteries in the spirit. He speaks hidden things. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how God operates. He operates, he hides his plan. And what does he do? He begins to reveal it to us through the Holy Spirit. So as we begin to pray, a lot of times the Lord will begin to reveal some stuff to us, but when we pray in the Holy Spirit, we're speaking mysteries to God, and we'll get into more of this in just a minute. Verse 4 says this, 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says, the person who speaks in another language, we talked about this already, edification, he builds himself up. Right? There you go again. So when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, it's for a purpose. That's why as a church, we're not just random tongue talkers here. Not that we can't speak in tongues. I can speak in tongues. My wife can. A lot of our leaders can. You don't see us do it crazily. Why? Because we want to make sure that we're doing it in the right way. Really what this is for is to build yourself up. Let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians 14:14. It says, "For if I pray in another language, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Praying in the Holy Spirit is praying in a prayer language. It's praying, the Bible actually, if you look at some versions, I love it where it says, it's praying in a new language. Right? It's praying in a new language. It's one that is not familiar to you, but you receive it in as we begin to build that relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's how you begin to discover this prayer language. That's how you mature in it. That's how you really become more fluent in it. But the thing is this, a tongue is simply a language that's not recognizable to our understanding. It's not, if I'm speaking in tongues, if I stood here and just started speaking in tongues, which I could do, but I will not do because it's for me personally. But if I were, you wouldn't understand what I was saying. But as we go back to right there to 14:2, what am I doing? I'm speaking mysteries to God. There's something that my spirit is speaking to God, that I'm speaking this prayer language that it's not understandable to you, but it's understandable to God. We're going somewhere. All right? And I get it. For a lot of people who grew up in churches and you've heard tongues, or maybe you've kind of heard the term speaking in tongues or praying in tongues, it can be a weird experience, and because we don't understand it, it can be frustrating. And that's why people really either have completely abandoned speaking in tongues or they speak against it. Right? Because they don't understand it. Because when you're speaking that and I don't understand it and people have abused it, right? They've said, "Oh, we're just not going to deal with it at all. We're not going to exercise it at all. We're not going to talk about it. I don't even want to know what it means. I don't want to know." But we really should know. We really should know. God desires to be in a relationship with you. He wants you to speak to Him. Let me give you an example of how it can frustrate people, though. Any ladies, we've talked about this before, about what refreshes you. What refreshes some woman is going to the nail salon. Am I right? Anybody, any ladies like to go and get your nails done? None here, maybe you're just natural. All right, somebody. All right, ladies that like to go and get their nails done, right? And in some establishments, especially if you up northeast where I'm from, right, a lot of the establishments are owned by Asian families, right? And so a lot of women, they go into these shops, and you may not understand what the person that's doing your nails or your feet, you might not understand what they're saying. And for some people, that drives them crazy. It frustrates them. Why? Because you think they're talking trash about you while they're doing your nails, right? You don't understand. They might be speaking in a language. They might be speaking Cantonese or Vietnamese or Mandarin, and you don't understand it, and so it might frustrate you. My wife has a friend that speaks fluent Mandarin, right? And I was my wife, you should probably go with her because then you can understand what somebody's saying. So she's talking trash. You'll know. You'll know immediately, right? But if we don't understand, you could feel like, are they talking about me? Are they talking about my feet? I know I got 6 corns, but, you know, you don't have to talk about my feet. But it can be frustrating because we don't understand. But God desires to be in relationship with us. And for some of us, getting comfortable or understanding why praying in the Holy Spirit is important to us can be difficult, right? It's something that I want to kind of pull off. But as anybody in here's relationship knows, that being in a relationship can sometimes be uncomfortable. I'm married. Sometimes that's uncomfortable, right? Our relationship. Not that I don't love my wife. Look, I love my wife to death, but there are some moments where she doesn't like me very much, right? Don't lie. It's okay. There's some moments where she may not. It can be uncomfortable. There's moments of contention. But that doesn't mean that that's not a place where there can be growth. Right? It's not a place that doesn't mean that there's not a place where there can be understanding. And that's really this process of the Holy Spirit. It brings edification to our lives so that we can grow up spiritually, so that this spiritual growth really is for everyone. And the thing about it is that anything that God says to us in His Word, it's not just one time. The reason why I showed you multiple verses, and I'll show you some more, is that when God typically speaks about a subject, in this case, speaking in tongues or praying in your prayer language, He doesn't just say it just that one time in the moment. You'll actually see places in the Word where he talked about it before it ever even happens, right? The first manifestation of the Holy Spirit doesn't come until after Christ is crucified and resurrected. That's the first really instance where we see people begin to speak in tongues, and we'll get there. But the Lord was talking about it well before then, right? Let's look at Isaiah chapter 28. And it says this, this prophet Isaiah says, "So he will speak to this people with stammering speech and in a foreign language," right? And he said to them, "This is the place of," there's that word again, "rest. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose," which really means refreshing. So when I'm praying in my prayer language, the prophet Isaiah is giving us something well before Jesus came, well before he died, well before he was crucified, saying this is exactly what it's going to sound like and what it's going to look like and what it's going to be like. All right? But if you go to the end of that verse, verse 12, it says, if you're looking at it, it says, "But they would not listen." I don't think we can put it up there. It says, "But they would not listen." Right? So he's telling them exactly what this is going to look like, what it's going to be like, well before the stuff happened. But it's saying, "But they would not listen." God is telling a lot of us, hey, praying in a prayer language, speaking in tongues, this is a place of rest. This is a place of refreshing. This is a place where I can restore you. This is a place where I can recharge you for the week. But a lot of us just don't listen. Why? It's because we don't understand. I know I'm spending a lot of time on this point, but I want to break it down because I understand a lot of the confusion that's gone into it, and I don't want to be unclear in any way. I want us to gain a full understanding. There are many people who believe in Christ and accept him as Lord, so they fully believe in God, but they just don't accept this experience. They have a foundation, but there's no walls. There's no windows. This is something, hey, this is a wall in our house. It might not even be a wall. It's probably just a window, but it's something that God desires for us to have. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, "For if I pray in another language, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." A lot of people miss out on the greatest experience, one of the greatest experiences that God gives us, one of the greatest things that God gifts us with, this experience, because it can come off weird, it can come off crazy, and people don't want to accept it. And a lot of times it's because we think that, man, if I'm praying in tongues, that means that I'm doing something nonsensical. That, man, you're telling me to turn off my brain. You're telling me to not be rational. You're telling me to not have an understanding. That's not what I'm saying at all. 2 Timothy 1:17 says, "For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Right? So this spirit, this is something extra the Lord gave me this morning. That when the spirit the Lord gives me, it's actually related to being sound of mind. I can have understanding. It's not something that's not credible. It's not something that's not clear. And when we pray in our spirit is active, but we just don't know we may not have full understanding of it yet. You may not always recognize or understand everything immediately, according when it's dealing with the spirit. So, okay, well, Pastor Kevin, why would God have me pray words that I cannot understand, words that I can't control, words that I'm not deciding on my own? Why would he have me have this type of experience? It's because sometimes in our understanding and our prayers, we limit God. I know I do. I limit God when I'm praying, right? Or we pray selfishly. We pray selfish prayers. Or we pray inaccurately. We're praying, oh God, I've seen it. Man, Lord, I really want to be married to this person. And that might not be the person that God has for you. I've seen it happen a number of times. Lord, I'm praying for this specific person. I'm praying for this specific outcome, which might not be what God really has for you. We pray inaccurately. Or we pray in a way that limits God or what God actually wants to do through us. That's why when it says there, we're praying the mysteries in the spirit, what we're praying to God is a true prayer. Let's look at it. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, read it before, in the same way, the spirit also joins to help us in our weakness. What is our weakness? Praying inaccurate prayers, praying bad prayers, praying ineffective prayers, right? What the spirit does, it comes and it helps us to pray accurate prayers. It helps us to pray effective prayers. It helps us to pray prayers that are actually in the will and the line of what God is trying to do. It says the spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he, Jesus, searches the hearts. He knows the spirit's mindset. What is it saying there? The spirit's mindset is the will of God. right? So the will is, so what the Lord is praying is the will of God for my life. If there's a certain direction that the Lord wants me to go in, the Holy Spirit is going to help me to pray out the correct will of God. I may not understand it. Why? Because we don't understand what God's trying to do a lot of times. We don't. We God, I don't get it. I don't understand why you have me going this way. I don't understand why I don't have a job now. I don't understand why I'm having this issue. I don't understand why, man, I'm going through this. And God's saying, I know, you don't know, right? But when we pray and we're praying with our spirit, we're praying the perfect will of God through the Spirit. He's trying to do something in us. When I pray in this other language, I'm actually praying into the supernatural direction of the Holy Spirit. He searches the hearts. He knows the Spirit's mindset because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Right? This is why we pray in the Holy Spirit. John 14, 16 says, it says, and I will ask the Father. Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Right? The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. This word counselor in the Greek comes from the word parakletos, which means it's called to one's side. It's called to one's aid, right? So something that helps me when I pray. This is why we need it. The Holy Spirit is the helper who comes to your side to aid you in what you do, right? He's not the doer, you are. You're the one that's in action, but what's he doing? He's helping you. He's aiding you. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He guides our words. When we pray, we're praying in the natural, but it's connected with the supernatural of the Holy Spirit. It is both natural and supernatural that come together for a force for good, right? And we see this throughout the Word. We see when Moses is at the Red Sea and he's got Egyptians to the back of him. They're in the middle of the water trying to cross to the other side. And God tells him, dude, hey, put that stick back out over the water, right? Can Moses make the Red Sea come back down over the Egyptians? No. That's he can't do that. But what can he do? You know what? I can do what God told me to do. Is hold the stick up and pray. That's your job. Moses' job, stick. God's job's miracle, right? So Moses, just hold your stick up, pray, and I'm going to do the work, right? Same thing we see when David kills Goliath. David, what's your job? Slingshot. Basic job, slingshot. Pray. Sling a rock. God takes care of the rest, right? I'm the one that's actually doing the work. And when we pray in our lives, okay, what am I telling you to do? I'm telling you, okay, to go hunt for a job. What am I gonna do? I've got the other side taken care of. Wow, you're praying for a new house. Okay, what I want you to do, fill out this loan application. I'm gonna take care of the miracle side. Let me deal with that. Right? But a lot of times because we want to be in the middle of it, because we want to understand everything, because everything just has to go my way. God, so we begin to pray, God, pray this exact thing that I want to go my specific way. And God's like, that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do a miracle. What I'm asking you to do is hold up a stick. Just hold up the stick. Let me do the miracle stuff, right? Your job is, look, Moses, stand there with the stick and pray. Okay, right? But God's saying, no, I'm gonna do the miracle work. A lot of times we miss it because we're afraid to do the simple thing. But God's saying, let me partner with you. Let me connect with you. Let me commune with you so that he can respond to what we're doing. When we see in the Word, there's always, anytime you see this in prayer, there's always the believer's initial action, and then there's God's response. Right? There's an initial action that we take as believers, and God's saying, you know what, I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to connect with your initial action. The Spirit is a complementer. We see it in Mark 16, 17, and this is one of the verses that always gets controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. Mark 16, 17 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages, referring to tongues. They will pick up snakes. That's what people already got. What? Right? If they should drink anything deadly, it will never harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. In every instance there, you see, if you do this, I will do this. Right? If you pick up the stick, I'm gonna part the Red Sea and put it back. My job is to just begin to pray. And a lot of times it's hard for us to separate, man, what we're supposed to do, right? Because we're trying to calculate. We want to know in the instant what my tongue's mean? Right? And we see in the Word of Paul saying that you're going to have times where people speak in tongues, but a lot of times keep it to yourself unless there's interpretation. Most times when you hear tongues, there's no interpretation. That means that's between you and God. And now when you see interpretation, when it's done correctly, and it doesn't have to be rare, but a lot of times nowadays it is rare because you don't really see the gift of interpretation with a lot of people accurately done, right? You see a lot of wishing and a lot of kind of setting stuff up, but when it's accurately done, there will be an instant interpretation. But what I'm saying is this: most of the time when we're praying in tongues, when you're praying in your prayer language in a simple way, it's going to be between you and God. He's trying to connect with you in a particular way. Acts 2 says this, says, when the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. This is the first instance where you see the Holy Spirit manifest. Suddenly a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability for speech. As the KJV says, as the Spirit gave them utterance, right? As he gave them utterance, as he gave them words. A lot of times what we see is that in this instance, because it was this great miracle, because it was something that seemed strange, that seemed out of place, we begin to try to distance ourselves from what the Holy Spirit is really trying to say. What Jesus did in this moment, this miraculous thing, because we don't fully understand everything that happened. Do I know what flames of fire separate? I have no idea what that looks like. Does it mean that it's not what God wants from me? No. Does it mean that that's not what God designed to happen in that moment and for us to not have it? No. But what does God do? He, the mysteries that we pray out, the mysteries that we begin to speak, he begins to align it with us so that we can begin to fully operate in what he's trying to do. He's saying, I'm asking you to just begin. This teaching today is a foundational teaching. Right? We're going to spend more time on this. We're going to learn about it more. But what we want to do is begin to get into your mind that this experience is something that God desires for you, that you can have. Why? So that it can refresh you. We've made it seem crazy, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 14:18, says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul's not saying here, and this is why people get off, Paul's not saying don't speak in tongues. He's not saying that. He's saying, no, I actually do it more than you, but when we come into this place, I'm going to speak words that you understand. Why? So that more people can begin to grow in their faith, so that more people can begin to know God, so that more people can come to the place where they begin to understand. But also, I have my own personal prayer life and experience that I have. It's the same thing for us. When we come into here, we're not the most showy. We're not going to do the big show over top. I'm not going to say a lot of tongues. Why? Because I want you to have understanding. But in your own personal life, there's something that we all have access to, and that is the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be hidden for us. Something is an experience that God really wants all of us to have, that as we go throughout the week, that he can begin to refresh us, that he can begin to fill us, and he wants that time of communion with us. Are you even at the point where you're talking to God every day? I can get into tongues. This is why we're not going too deep in it. Why? Because we have to begin to even do the basic stuff. I would love to sit here and pray and people get tongues in a moment, but you know what? I'm actually praying that people would be consistent. Just consistent in their time with God, just consistent in their communion. Are you opening up your Bible? Right? Are you taking time to just worship him every day? Are you taking time to just pray in the language that you even understand? I just like Paul, man, I could spit tongues beautifully. But you know what I want even more than that is really that you would gain understanding, that you would begin to experience God in a real way in your life, so that the Holy Spirit can really begin to work in your life, that you can be refreshed and filled, and God can just continue to build you up, that walls of your house would go in, that the windows of your house spiritually would go in, that some ceilings in your house would go in. Why? Because God is trying to use you to do a great work. There is some supernatural that he's trying to connect to your natural, but your natural has to be right so that the supernatural can work. God's telling you, hold up the stick so that I can do the miraculous stuff. Ephesians 6, 18, 19 says, pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all saints. Pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Do I have to pray to be saved? No, you don't. You don't have to pray to be saved. You just have to believe in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, in his death and his resurrection. So why should I pray in the Holy Spirit? Because we're all given the ability to do so. So that we'll pray unselfishly, so that we'll pray accurately and in detail with his direction. We need the refreshing this edification brings to our daily lives. I need this. We all need this in our lives. I'm going to close with this. I want us to not be afraid of the power and the presence of God. I don't want us to be afraid of what he's trying to do in us and the passion that he's trying to bring to our lives and that he's trying to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit. What my desire is for all of us is that we would begin to experience in a real and clear way what God is trying to do through all of us, in all of us, in a way that fully taps into his presence and his passion, right? That's our desire at the end of the day, that we would really have a full understanding. We're going to continue to talk about this next week, but I really wanted to just lay a groundwork this week of what God is trying to do to build into your lives. I don't know if you've ever even prayed for yourself saying, man, Lord, I really want to begin to really experience your Holy Spirit in my life. I really want to begin to really open up myself to be exposed to what God is trying to do in me, right? What I'm asking you to do this week is just to begin exploring that. Begin praying on your own, saying, God, what is it that you're really trying to do in me? How can I commune with you better? What is it that you're really trying to say to me through the Spirit? And even praying, for those of you who want to take a shot of saying, Lord, man, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Man, Lord, or somebody, you might be filled with saying, Lord, I want to speak in tongues. What I want to do is for us to just begin, let's begin trying to build those walls. Let's begin trying to work on those windows or the doors, wherever you're at in your spiritual walk. Let this be a moment, a time where you're saying, God, I desire more of you. I know you desire more of me. I want to take a step to go a little bit further in my faith. I want to take a step to go a little bit further in my experience in you. I don't want to just be a foundation anymore. Yes, God, I know you, I love you, and you're in my life, but I know you want more from me. I know you're expecting more from me, and I want to tap into that. That's my homework, this little small thing. Just as you pray this week, and I'm encouraging you, pray this week, right? Begin to just ask the Lord, what is that next level for me? What is it in my life? What haven't I tapped into you yet? What haven't I tapped into that you're trying to do in me? What's that next step? What's the next thing I need to start? Is it paint on my house? What is it? What is it in my life that I need? Because it's not just the basis level. He's trying to do more in all of us. Bow your heads, let me pray for you.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.